Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
A byword for artistic integrity and innovation, staying true to its long-established independent ethos.
Hello everyone, happy Monday. My name is Patrick Foster, you're listening to the Rockin' the Suburbs podcast. And to start off this week, we're going to have another bite-sized history lesson. And we like to call those What Was First, where we explore releases on iconic, influential, and just labels that we like and ideas we thought of, so we do it. And the label we're going to explore today was suggested by the man himself, Jim Linehan, my good friend, partner, and co-founder of Rockin' the Suburbs. Thank you very much, Jim, for this idea. That was a great idea. Jim's always coming up with good ideas and ways to organize things. It's almost like he should be an editor or something. I don't know. Just an idea, Jim. Look into it. And the label is Island Records. Isn't that an interesting one? Man, oh man. Island Records, one of the most influential labels of all time, one of the most influential independent labels of all time, without a doubt. Try not to let this blow your mind, but here's just a partial list of some of the artists who have been signed to Island or released records on Island or one of their subsidiaries at some point since the label was founded. Get ready for this. Bob Marley, Nick Drake, Queen, Jethro Tull, Grace Jones, King Crimson, Emerson, Lake & Palmer, Brian Eno, Demi Lovato, Ariana Grande, Avicii, Sparks, The Cranberries, Roxy Music, Pulp, Fall Out Boy, The Killers, a little band called U2, Mumford & Sons, Iggy Azalea, Amy Winehouse, Tom Waits, Florence and the Machine, Catfish and the Bottlemen, Sandy Denny, The Weeknd, Keane, Annie Lennox, PJ Harvey, Janet Jackson, John Martin, Nick Jonas, and Robin. That's just a partial list, folks. Partial list. Pretty hard to believe. And it turns out that the first release on Island Records, and I could not have ever guessed this, was Islands in the Stream by Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. And that's what the label is named after, Island. Isn't that amazing? No, I'm just kidding. Just because we're learning history doesn't mean we can't have a little fun and joke around. The label was founded back in 1959 in Jamaica by a guy called Chris Blackwell. And in this first period, there were 28 singles and 3 LPs that were released in the time that he founded this label in 1959 until 1962-ish when he moved the operation to London, England. And he mainly released Jamaican music on Island Records once he got to London as well. And he also started up a series of side labels. He learned early on that you could license a record, a song maybe, and get it into the charts. And you could also, instead of licensing to another label, you could create a label yourself and release it on that. You could actually have one of your sub-labels competing with one of your own labeled records in the charts, right? It was very interesting. So he started up a few labels. And there were many, many more to come, but Black Swan, Sue, and Jump Up, and they had slightly different styles of music on each one. And that was sort of the pattern that he held until about 1967. And in that year, he started signing UK musicians and became a very important label on the folk and rock scenes, did Island. The band Traffic became one of the cornerstones of Island's Pink label, which is, and I quote here, from the Island, excellent Island history on their website, an imprint that represented a fresh way of looking at the world. So it was definitely something that was very important in turning the corner for the rock and roll culture, for the counterculture, establishing of FM radio and all those things that came to dominate music in the 70s. And of course, you know, there are records by Fairport Convention. We didn't even mention them. And also the band Free had big hits during this time. And this was kind of the pattern for Island until about 1980. And it was at that time that they really started moving toward becoming one of the biggest independent record companies in the world and most influential. Many spinoff labels were operating under Island's flagship at this time. They also started a film company around this time and started producing movies. And oh yeah, they signed a little band called U2 that apparently did pretty well for themselves. And then in July 1989, Blackwell sold Island Records and Island Music to the Polygram UK group. He explained later It had gotten too big and too corporate for me, and I couldn't really handle it. Blackwell was given a position on the board at PolyGram, and he ended up staying there for almost a decade as CEO of the Island Entertainment Division under PolyGram. But that's a quick overview of the label's arc, and of course, very, very important and very, very influential. But let's go all the way back, folks, all the way back to the beginning. And I'm going to quote you now from this Island history that's on their website. Quote, "The history of Island began with a jazz album made in Jamaica. In 1959, the same year as Berry Gordy was putting together his fledgling Tamla label in Detroit, a young Jamaican-based Englishman, Chris Blackwell, released an album of jazz standards by blind Bermudan singer and pianist Lance Haywood. It was called At the Half Moon Hotel, Montego Bay. Blackwell, 21, had started a record label, and he named it Island after Alec Waugh's novel Island in the Sun. And Chris Blackwell did this with a loan from his parents, essentially, and he also had a couple of partners, Graham Goodall and Leslie Kong, who helped him get the label started, helped him establish it as a business, and kind of guided him a little bit on his way. So there it is, Lance Haywood at the Half Moon Hotel, Montego Bay. Catalog number, interestingly enough, is CB21. You may be able to guess what that means. It's Chris Blackwell's initials and his age at the time, literally CB21. Didn't go for Island 001 or anything like that. And down through the years, Island's numbering system varied completely depending on what the style of music was, what the label was, what the release was, what the time of the year was, all kinds of different things. So why don't we play a little bit of this record? Now, folks, I'll tell you, the only copy of this I was able to procure has a skip, and this is a recording of it that has a skip in the first song called Ocho Rios, and that's actually the only track on the record where we hear Lance Haywood sing. But why don't we go ahead and listen to the song Street Where You Live from Lance Haywood at the Half Moon Hotel, Montego Bay, the first release on Island Records. Right, beautiful, huh? It's I wouldn't say necessarily standard Jamaican jazz, if there is really such a thing, by a blind Bermuda piano player, but it's got a feel of something that you might hear in the late 1950s at a nightclub. Very danceable if you wanted to dance. Also very pleasant to listen to. Now, for me, it's also fascinating that the guitar player that you heard on that track is Ernest Ranglin, an amazing Jamaican guitarist, turned out to be one of the most legendary guitarists in the ska and reggae scenes, and he played on so many Studio One and Island singles and really developed a style and a sound and a way of playing rhythmically that became kind of a hallmark for a lot of the music that was made in the 1960s, and it's pretty amazing, and he's still making records today, and I just love all of the stuff I've heard from him, and he continued to put out stuff. There's one that came out in 1998 even called In Search of the Lost Rhythm that's fantastic as well, and gosh, his category of Sidemen records is just incredible of all the ones he played on, so it's pretty amazing. If you don't know Ernest Ranglin, that's a nice side note to this record, but yeah, very cool stuff. Now, I will also tell you that looking here on Discogs, there are zero copies for sale of Lance Heywood at the Half Moon Hotel at the moment. One did change hands on June 1st, as a matter of fact, which is pretty interesting. And that copy went for $218. So definitely a collector's item, I would say. It's interesting, too. The Island label was referenced earlier, the pink one, but it's, you know, it's become iconic down through the years. But this one is very interesting. It's just an orange circle, designs protruding out that make it look like the sun. Side one, CB21. That's it. Nothing else. Just the name of the songs. And other tracks on this are Begin the Begin, Virgin Isle Vamp, Granada, Ethiopia, The Street Where You Live, which we heard, All the Things You Are, Session at the Opera, and the closing track, I like the play here, Freelance. So maybe that's a jam session that they did. No composer credits are listed on this record. And it's also unclear to me if it was actually recorded live or if it was just recorded at the hotel. I'm not really sure. I'm going to guess that it was a live session one way or another, whether there are an audience involved or not. It's unclear to me. But anyway, we will play out today with the last song, Freelance. I think you're going to like that too. Ernest Rangel only plays guitar on the second half of this record, which is, it just happens to be both of the songs I selected to play. And the other guitar player on the first side is Frank Rabian. And we also had Clarence Bean on drums, Maxwell Smith on bass, and of course, Lance Heywood tickling the ivories and Chris Backwell producing the record. All right, so how about that? Very interesting stuff, huh? Going way, way back, the same year, and Motown hadn't even been established yet. It was still going to be Berry Gordy and Tamla. Isn't that cool? So there it is. Thanks, Jim, very much for this idea. So cool. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have any thoughts on Island Records, have any favorite Island Records that you want to talk about, please send us an email, rock@suburbspod.com, or you can find us on all the social medias at suburbspod. And intern Matt will always gather up your correspondence and get it to us. And as we said earlier, may not get to it right away, but we'll get to it as soon as we can. And we eventually will get to it. So don't you worry about that. Thanks for listening, folks. This has been Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. And on behalf of my co-founder, co-host, and good friend Jim Linehan, we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Enjoy Lance Heywood and Freelance. Did I get that wrong? I did get that wrong. Better read that again.